Acts chapter 4, I want to begin with verse number 23, and I'll read down through 31, and just bring you a few thoughts from this. I think it's very appropriate for our day. Folks, we're living in a day that we've never been this way before. Never has America been in the shape it's in this very night, or day rather. Never before has America ever had a Marxist for the president. And I don't say that hateful. It's just the honest truth.
Amen.
And we have a responsibility to pray for him. We have a responsibility to obey the law as far as we can. Now, when his law runs contrary with God's law, then we've got to take God's side. And it is running. It's just not enforcing it. Folks, they're not putting all these laws on the book just for fun. They intend to use them at the right time. These anti-discrimination laws is going to be to shut people like us down. If you don't endorse same-sex marriage, and that's a ridiculous term. There isn't no such thing as that.
Amen. Right.
Two men or two women marrying each other. Now, how ridiculous can you get? That's not even marriage. I don't care. I don't care who says what. That's no marriage.
Amen.
But yet, they're going to expect us to tolerate it. Abortion. I made up my mind some time ago. If there's no one on the ticket that's not completely anti-abortion and anti-same-sex marriage, I'll stay at home. Somebody said, well, I'm going to go vote for the lesser of two evils. How can you? Can you get any more evil than that? No. Well, he's a conservative, but he's not very straight on abortion. He's not a conservative.
Right.
You can't be a conservative and be a murderer.
Right. Amen.
See, there's all that excitement about the man getting elected in Massachusetts, and I was glad that that woman got beat. And I'm sure he's in the conservative area, be better. But he's not a conservative. He believes in abortion. Believes in a lot of other things, morally. He's not morally a conservative. And I'm not giving you a political lecture. I'm just simply telling you where we are. How do we handle it? Well, here in Acts 4, in verse 23. Now, it's talking about Peter and John. You know, they had healed the lame man in chapter 3 that had been lame for more than 40 years, and everybody knew it. And it had literally turned Jerusalem upside down. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't know what to do with that. They said, we can't deny it. If we deny it, the people will be after us. It's a notable miracle. Everybody knows that man was a cripple. Now, you won't find Benny Hinn or any of them picking that kind, because they can't do nothing. But there's a man that had been laying at the gate beautiful for above 40 years old with his hand out. Everybody knew he was a cripple. But yet Peter and John passed by, and he asked alms, and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise. And strength came into his feet, and he went through the temple leaping and praising God.
Amen.
Boy, that set those people on a stir. So they said, they had a council. They said, what are we going to do about it? They said, we can't deny it. So we'll try to contain it. So they called them in, threatened them, and said, you don't preach any more in that name. That's what they're saying to us today.
Right.
Which I don't have no confidence in the prayer thing is going on in Washington anyway. I preached on radio one time. I said, you have to repent before you can pray. You ain't right with God, you can't pray. You don't have no high priest unless you're right with God. You can't pray. But at least Franklin Graham did take a stand, and I thank God for it. He said, there's no other way to heaven, no other way to God, but through Jesus Christ. I said, glory to God. So they kicked him out. Which I'd count that an honor if I was him. they asked him on a program, I believe I saw it or read it or something, and, you know, about his daddy. He said, me and my daddy are not the same. I said, hallelujah for that.
Amen.
Was his daddy telling Muslims, God's got another way for them to get to heaven. They ain't, though.
That's right.
But anyway, they threatened them that to punish them if they spoke any more in Jesus' name. And that's coming to us. Preach if you want to, but don't you preach in that name. It's coming. You might well get ready for it. If the rapture don't take us out, it's coming. And we'll have to make up our minds then. Are we going to obey God or are we going to obey man? And it's not going to be an easy decision. I don't boast about what I'm going to do. I know what I want to do, but I don't. If God don't give me grace, I won't do it.
Right. Yep. Amen.
That's right.
And so they let them go. They left rejoicing. Boy, isn't that good? In verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
Father, I pray you'll help us this morning in these few moments to draw from this what you've put in our hearts, that we might be a blessing to this people again, as they've been a blessing to me through the years. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that Peter and John, when they was let loose, they didn't go down to the court or to some official. They went back to their own, the church.
Right.
And they reported all that had been said to them. They gave a full report of the threatening and what had happened to them, and telling God's people. Somebody might say, well, that little old bunch down there couldn't do anything. You better go see the state representative. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have much confidence that politicians has got much for me.
Right.
Now, they may act like they do. I went through some of that years ago in a Christian school movement. And for the most part, they'll say whatever you want to hear while you're there, but they'll go back to Frankfort or Washington, and they'll do what they want to do.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
So I don't fool with that anymore. I believe the church has power with God if they'll learn how to use it.
Amen.
And so they went back and reported that. And the Bible says, now this is talking about the church, their own. That's the Baptist Church at Jerusalem. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. What did they do? So just get a petition going now and get out here and see how many signatures we can gather. No. They went to the right place. They lifted up their voice to God.
Amen.
They called on God and said, here, and notice what they said. And they said, Lord, thou art God. The first thing they did is recognize that God was sovereign. And I want to tell you, if you come to that place to where you realize God is sovereign, your prayers won't get any higher than your head. Why pray to a God if he's not sovereign? Why call on someone that doesn't control everything? They said, Thou art creator of all things. Thou art God.
Amen.
You're the only Lord God. There's not any beside Thee, not any like You. That's what Isaiah the prophet said, Isaiah 45, 21, 22. He said, I am God.
Amen.
And there is none else.
Amen.
There's none beside Me, none like Me. I am God. And to deny that, you don't have a God.
Right. Amen.
I wouldn't give you 5 cents for the Armenian's God.
Right.
That can be manipulated by man.
Amen.
Our God is not manipulated by anyone. He's the unchangeable, the immutable God. And He is the sovereign God. He's the creator God. And He alone can do what needs to be done. Somebody said, you sound like a Calvinist. Well, amen. I don't follow Calvin, but I believe that form of doctrine. The God I serve is sovereign. See, you deny any attribute of God and you don't have God. I don't care. I mean, I know what most of you believe, but whether I did or not, I'd still preach it if that's what God wanted me to preach. But see, they're starting off right. If you want to approach God, the Bible said that we must believe God is, Hebrews 11. That is, we must believe He's who He said He was. And He says throughout the Bible, I am the sovereign creator of all things, and I uphold all things by the word of My power, and I can do what I determine to do. Psalms 115 and verse 3, He said, I'm God, and I do as I please in heaven and in earth. He said in the 135th Psalm, about the 6th verse, about the same thing. I am God, I do whatever pleases Me. You know why God saved me? Because it pleased Him. Wasn't anything in me pleasing, but it pleased Him to do it. You know why? Because He determined that before the world was.
Yeah.
Said that little old Downs boy is going to be born in this world in 1938. I got my tag on him. I'm telling you, folks, I love that. I don't want to serve any God that's not like that. He said in Isaiah 46... He said, I have purposed it and I will do it. Off back down there in the sticks of Livingston County, Kentucky, there's going to be a little old boy born. Some of y'all look at me kind of funny. Don't you believe this?
Yes.
See, I think Paul said in Galatians 1:15, he said, and when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, that's His physical birth, and called me by His grace. I can become a shouting Baptist on this. There is no, if that's not the truth, then you don't have no eternal security. Our security lays in God.
Yes.
I was asked about a preacher I used to run with, and I'm not cutting him down. In fact, I belong to a church he pastored. We made a deal that I could believe what this, and if he didn't, we wouldn't fuss over it, but that don't work. And he said to me one day, well, I don't believe in that old predestination. If there's anything else you don't believe, we'll try to help you. Predestination is a good word.
That's right.
Right.
It's used 4 times in the Bible. It always has a purpose. You're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. But you know what? It's translated ordained. It's translated determined beforehand. Nobody ever gets upset about that, but we'll use that word with a P on it. And they about have a fit. Brother V.A. Turner said to me years ago, mentioned a couple of preachers, said you talk about election around them, said they run backward like a dog with worms. I don't know where he got that. Some of his sayings were crude, but no, I'm not trying to peddle some kind of foreign doctrine. If you don't believe it, I won't fall out with you. I just advise you to study. That's how I came to it. I didn't always believe that. I always believed salvation was God. I knew from my own experience that nobody saved themselves. Because when God began to settle in on me, I was going the other way 100 miles an hour. And my first wife's brother got to going to church. I'm not even sure he was saved, but he got in there and got some zeal, and he talked me into going and hearing a preacher there. And I didn't want to go. I really didn't. I was arrogant, hateful, but he'd just stay with you. I mean, he'd stick to you like chewing gum. And he was having a meeting to dedicate the first building that that church had built, and he talked me into going. He even took me out and bought my lunch. And there was an old preacher there from Texas. Oh, did he ever preach? And I'll tell you, when I left there, I was in bad shape. About 2 years before God saved me, but I was the most miserable young man. Lost without God and knew it. But I had too much pride to do anything about it. That's why I love him. That's why I love this teaching. He loved me before I ever loved him.
Amen.
And I love him because he first loved me.
Amen.
One day by his mercy, he regenerated me. Gave me a nature that caused me to turn to him, repentance and faith. See, that's where people go wrong. They're mixed up on the difference in regeneration and conversion. Regeneration is the first act that takes place in your soul. It has to, because you're dead in sins and trespasses. And until God gives you life and a new nature, you're not going to turn to God. But when you get life in the new nature, you're going to turn to God from idols and believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're two different acts. I think they're near simultaneous. I don't believe God regenerates people and leaves you unbelievers. Or I don't believe you become a believing or unregenerate. But that's the truth of it. I got off a book years ago by an old Puritan by the name of Stephen Charnock on regeneration. I was in a bookstore in Nashville, Indiana. It's a kind of a small Gatlinburg. And I saw that book. And I thought, I need that. And I got to reading that thing, and I had to take it home with me. I bought it. And he brought that out. He said, in regeneration, you're passive. But in conversion, you're active. I said, brother, that makes sense. And I began to study. I gave that book away, but I bought me another one. It's a good book. Anyway, let me get on. Goodness. I know somebody's probably timing me already. Amen. But I like to testify. But notice here, they knew who God was. And they talked about here who by the mouth of thy servant David has said. And about how that the people imagine a vain thing, the heathen raged against God. Somebody said, why did they do it? Because they're heathen. They're still raging. Of course, this was talking about his crucifixion, his first coming, but they're still raging. The heathen's still in a rage. And he said here in verse number 28, here's the key to the whole thing. He said, they're gathered together to do whatsoever thy counsel and thy hand hath determined to be done. I don't know about you, that's a comfort to me. You know what this present administration's going to do? Whatever God permits them to do.
That's right.
They won't do any more, they won't do any less. So why should I lay awake at night worrying about it? It don't mean I shouldn't be concerned and pray.
Right.
I'm disturbed about the condition of our churches. I really am. And I'm concerned about some of my grandchildren that's not saved. And I pray for them. Somebody said, well, if it's going to be, it's going to be. No, no, no. It won't be without means.
Right.
And one of the means is prayer.
Amen.
David, when he was praying for his baby, before he died, and then the baby died, and he got up and washed himself, went and ate, and they were astounded. And they said, David, while he was alive, said you were fasting and praying. And now he's dead, you're up eating. What's going on? He said, when he's alive, who knows what God was going to do? Who knows whether God was going to turn and be merciful to me and save that baby? But once God had answered, took the baby home, he said, now it's time to get up and wash up and get on with business. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I cry and weep before God for my grandchildren. The thought of them being left behind if the rapture comes, or the thought of them going to a never-ending hell bothers me.
Amen.
And it ought to bother you. There's a lot of people prayed for me. So they said, we know they're just going to do whatever you determined. Did you know that word there is the same word translated predestination? Beforehand determined. It really is. And I never heard anyone get upset over that. And now, Lord, now notice their request. This, and I'm going to finish up here in a minute. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You notice something? In this request, they didn't request God to save them from persecution.
Right. That's right.
They prayed, God, grant them boldness.
Yes.
That they may preach. That's my prayer. We shouldn't be praying for an easier time necessarily. And see, what I see in America and a lot of these political movements, and some of them are of my stripe. I never sent no tea bag, but I agree with a lot of their philosophy. But you know what they want? They want things to be better for them, not glorify God. You won't get anywhere praying like that. What these folks are praying for, they're praying for the glory of God. They didn't say, Lord, remove this persecution, take that out of the way. They said, no, Lord, grant thy servants with all boldness that they may preach. That's what we preachers need.
Amen.
The Bible said, Paul said to the Philippians, he said, you've been appointed to persecution. You say, do you like persecution? Goodness, no. But it may be necessary. I know this, all they'll do is what God's hand is determined for to be done. So grant unto thy servant. See, if we pray, we need to pray scripturally. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, we know if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's the 14th verse. The 15th verse said, we know if he hears us, we have the petitions that we ask. Go back sometime in Genesis 18 and examine the prayer there that Abraham prayed in 18 and 19. He prayed for Lot. He based everything on his knowledge of God. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He knew God. He's on scriptural grounds. These folks were on scriptural grounds. Why? What were they praying for? They're praying that the will of God be done, that the furtherance of the gospel go on, and preachers have boldness to preach. They said, by stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. I realize today that for the most part, God's not accompanying the message with miracles because the gospel's already been authenticated. It doesn't have to have that.
Right.
But you know what the greatest miracle is? Is an old sinner that God performs regeneration in. Everybody in the community knows something happened.
That's right.
You got people can reform them, but you can't make them new creatures.
That's right.
The man I was talking about was converted in 1974 from the worst drunk in life. No, I'll tell you what, I don't know how many people said to me after that. They said, I don't know what's going on up there, but said, brother, and called his name, he said, I know one thing, he's different. I talked to him some. He believes in grace too. And you know how he come to grace? Because at the time I was his pastor, I wasn't teaching some of the things. I didn't know some of the things I know now. He got to reading Arthur Pink and some of those people. And he come to the truth. But notice their answer. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They didn't speak in tongues.
Right.
They spoke the word of God with boldness. Some people would have you to believe on television, some of that stuff, that if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to do all kinds of didos. No, the Bible don't teach that. Why? What was their business? Their business was to preach the word of God.
Amen.
So therefore God granted them a full measure of the Holy Ghost so they could preach with boldness. That's what we need today. Be able to witness and to preach.
Amen.
Not with arrogance. I've seen so much arrogance put off as boldness, and it was not boldness. It's just plain arrogance. I'm talking about a humble testimony and a boldness that is tempered by the Holy Spirit of God to preach to sinners. Preach to this world that Jesus Christ is the only way. You can go anywhere and preach that Jesus a way. Nobody gets upset. But you tell them he's the way. You put that put that definite article to it. That makes him stand alone, see. That's what the scriptures teach. Neither is there any other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved.
Right.
Jesus Christ and him alone. And that's what these preachers need boldness for, was to preach Jesus Christ. Sometimes people say, some of what you believe, I don't understand you being a missionary. Did you know that's what encourages me in missions work?
Right. Amen.
God's got some people over there. He wouldn't have sent me there.
Right.
I don't know who they are, so I just preach to everybody.
Amen.
I mean, when they come in down there for me to preach to them, I don't look at them and say, well, let me see if I can figure out which one's which.
Nope.
I just preach. But I'll tell you what, when regeneration takes place, I can identify them. They're new creatures. If you've never been changed, you better check up. If you're the same old thing you used to be, and you don't have any desire to be something better, you better check up. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God help us to want holy boldness, a holy courage to preach, to teach, to witness, to pray. Jesus is coming soon. It may be before I ever get back to Thailand. Maybe before we finish the day. What are you looking for? I'm looking for that blessed hope.
Amen.
And glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible said in Hebrews 9, He is going to appear to them that were looking for Him. First time He came, who did He appear to? You go the first Luke there. He appeared to those that were looking for Him. Oh, Simeon.
Yep.
Simeon had been looking for Him.
Amen.
And one day they brought in the baby Jesus, and he held Him up and praised God. He said, "Mine eyes have seen the redemption of Israel." Anna spent her time fasting, praying, and encouraging others. John the Baptist, known and known you could go. Those that were looking for His coming. They'd been studying the Old Testament and they believed that the Messiah was coming.
Right.
And sure enough, He came. Official Israel didn't recognize it, but boy, those people that had been looking for Him did. Hosanna, King of Israel, David's son. They proclaimed Him. The others detested Him. And when He comes back, He's going to appear to those that are looking for Him. Let's stand together for prayer. I'm going to have prayer, and I'll let Brother Duke come and close the service out as he sees fit. But I'll tell you, if you're not right with God today, you better get serious with God. You say, "Would God save me?" If he's dealing with you, you don't need any other indication. Come. My grandson said to a lady, and she told us about it. He said, "I don't know whether God's calling me or not." I've told him, I said, if you have any inkling about coming, you don't worry about it. That's the call. That's the start of the work. If you have any inkling today to know God, to get right with Him, you got all you need. Just come and trust Him. Why would you have a desire if He didn't put it there? You wouldn't have. Your old fallen nature would never have a desire for God unless God did something to you. And I tell you, if you are a believer today and know it and you're walking a guilty distance, you ought to get this thing settled today, not tomorrow, not this afternoon, now.